Good morning and welcome to Enfield Town Community Church. My name is Dougal and I'm one of the apprentices here at the church. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, then I'm delighted you're here. Please do reach out to us in the comment section of this video if you'd like to get in touch. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we are reminded as God's people to know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. As we're sat at home, tuning into perhaps yet another virtual church service, we may be tempted to lose sight of who God is and what he's done. But this passage this morning reminds us that God is God, he is reigning and he is sovereign. But not only that, it also reminds us that God is faithful. He is a God who, despite our constant unfaithfulness to him, continues to love us, so much so that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for us. So let's pick up that theme of God's faithfulness in our first song this morning, Great is Your Faithfulness. Faithful God in prayer. Father God, thank you that you are a faithful God. Thank you that despite our constant rejection of you, you do not change. You remain faithful. Thank you that day after day you are merciful, and that in your great mercy you sent Jesus to die for us and to bring us into relationship with you. Forgive us, Father, for so often failing to remember how faithful you've been to us. Lord, please forgive us for our unfaithfulness to you this past week. Help us, Lord, to be a people who never lose sight of who you are and what you've done. We pray these things for your glory and for our good. Amen. Right, boys and girls, we're now going to head over to Glenn in his shed.
Hey guys, I hope you're holding up well. Later on, we're going to be doing a bit of a craft, so at some point you might want to go grab a piece of A4 paper so you're ready for it. Now, as many of you know, we are working our way through the sections of this book, What Every Child Should Know About Prayer. And we are on to section 3. God's people have always prayed. God's people have always prayed. And that's true. All the way through history, God's people have prayed. We read about it in the Bible.
Have they really?
Yeah, they always have prayed.
Glenn?
Yeah?
Can we ask them?
Sorry, what?
Can we give them a call and ask them if they chatted with the gaffer in heaven?
Well, that's quite hard because they lived thousands of years ago and they don't have a phone. So that's kind of impossible, Steve.
But I made this time phone so we can speak to them.
Sorry, you made what? Are you feeling okay?
No, really. I made a time phone so we can call them and speak to them. It works.
Oh, Steve. Okay, I'll play along. Okay, let's call King David then.
Okay, grab it, it's over there.
Okay, what, this thing?
Yeah, it's okay. Time phone, ring King David. Okay, stick it to your ear, it should be ringing.
Okay, let's stick it to your ear.
Hi, King David speaking.
There's a voice. Hello?
King David, number 1 Jerusalem Street, 1000 BC, you know, King David. Who's this?
This is Glenn.
Who?
Oi, D-Dog, it's Steve and Glenn.
Steve, great to hear from you.
Ask him. Ask him if he prays, ask him the question.
Okay. Mr. King David, do you ever pray?
Yeah, of course I pray. I pray when I'm scared, I pray when I'm happy. I pray when I've done some really bad things and I need God's forgiveness. In fact, a lot of my prayers I turned into songs in my hymn book. You can find them in the Psalms.
Oh, wow, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for answering our question.
You're very welcome. I've got a scoop. Give my old bro Steve a hug for me. Will do. Let's go.
Hey, bye.
Told you. Now, let's try some not so high and important people. Oh, let's try Simeon. He's just some old man. Nothing important.
Okay. Time. You do it.
Time phone. Ring Simeon.
Okay. Oh, it's ringing.
Oh, my Mac. Oh. Hello? Simeon speaking?
Hi, Simeon. This is Glenn speaking.
Ah, oh, Glenn! Steve friend!
Yeah?
Good to hear from you! Can I...
Well,
help
I was
you?
Wondering, do you pray?
Yes, of course I do. All the time. All real friends of God are known by the fact they speak to God.
Okay, cool.
This one time when I saw Jesus as a baby, I was so happy I'd speak to God and thank him and rejoice there and then. All friends of God do here. I bet they do where you are too.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Mr. Simeon.
You're very welcome. I need to go. Send my love to Steve.
Will do. God bless.
You too. Oh, my back.
Well, there you go, Steve. God's people have always prayed to God. And if you wonder, maybe you can ask Steve and borrow his phone and speak to someone and double check. Look at this beautiful verse from the Bible that King David wrote, Psalm 32:5. So I confessed my sins and told them to God, to you, God. I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. then you forgave me and took away my guilt. Look at that, what he says to God right at the end. Look what he prayed. Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. Prayer is the pathway to forgiveness and joy.
So Glenn, why don't we tend to pray as much as the people in the past?
Well, I think it's because we forget. We get really busy and lots of things get in our way and we forget to pray.
So how can we stop that?
Well, funny you should ask that, because I've got a craft that'll help us to remember to pray. So make sure you've got a piece of paper and then see if you can follow the story and do what I did there. Go for it.
Right, so let me tell you a story about a man. He got up one morning and he looked throughout his whole day and thought, I'm going to pray about everything today. But he got to lunchtime, half the day had gone. Now fold your piece of paper over in half. There we go. Half the day had gone and he'd just forgotten to pray to God about anything. And then without realizing, more of the day had gone. Let's fold over this last little bit here. There we go. More of the day had gone and it was home time from work or school. He'd wanted to pray about everything, but he'd forgotten and not actually prayed about anything. So on his way home, he thought back over his afternoon and what had happened. Now unfold that bit. But he couldn't remember in his mind. He folded over the corners. Let's fold over this corner. To try and remember, but he couldn't remember. And he tried folding over a different corner. Let's fold over this corner. But he couldn't remember. He just had gone over, turn this bit back, over that his afternoon, and he couldn't remember anything. Before he knew it, it was the end of the day, and the whole day had turned over the piece of paper, and night came. And he really wanted to remember and pray before bedtime. Think, he thought. I'm going to turn over every corner of my mind to try and remember. So let's turn over every corner. Every corner. He was trying to remember what had happened in his day. Even these big, thicker corners here. He tried hard to remember what is it that he had done in his day, but he just couldn't remember. He tried to fold it over, so let's fold this over in the middle like that. And night came and he wanted to remember and pray before bedtime, but he just couldn't remember anything. And so he folded up his clothes. Let's fold this over to there, but don't press this down all the way, just give it a slight crease there. And he unfolded his pajamas, and he then remembered that he had a tough conversation with someone, and in that tough conversation it felt like there was a little tear. So make a little tear here, only about a centimeter long, a little tear. But he hadn't really prayed about it. He remembered what he had done was he tried to fold over other things to cover it up. Fold over that little bit there, all the way down to the end. So he folded over the little bits to try and cover up the tear, and let's fold over this bit as well to see. Folded over that bit and that bit to cover it all up. And he turned it over and he covered up, he folded these little bits up to try and cover it up. And he'd done that and he'd not bothered to pray. He'd forgotten it was bedtime and he'd completely forgotten to pray. And so at bedtime he prayed, sorry God, I haven't prayed today. Please give me a mouth tomorrow to help me pray about everything. But now the thing is, he now had a mouth that he could sit on his desk and every time he looked at it, it would remind him to speak to God about whatever he was doing. It would remind him to pray about everything before it became nothing.
That was really helpful, and that will really help me to pray down in the shed.
So that's, boys and girls, let's not forget to pray. Let's put those lips somewhere to remind us to pray to God, because friends of God love to talk to God and tell him everything. We're going to sing our new memory verse song. Remember the actions to the first bit. So it's, give me a sec. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do, 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 do. And don't forget to record yourself doing the actions, send them in, and I'll add them to the video. For now, we've got T and D to help us with the actions.
Fantastic. Well, after this service, we'll be running another one of our Zoom cafes. Please do tune into that if you'd like to have a chat to any members of the church family. Perhaps you've been tuning into these church services for a while now, and you'd like to get a bit more involved with the church here or get to know some other people. This will be a great opportunity for you to do that. The details for that will all be put on the screen at the end of the service. We're now also going to catch up with one of our mission partners, the Shorts, who have got recorded a video for us earlier this week.
Hi everyone. It's great to be able to connect with you like this. It's very sad that we can't be with you in person, but we have been very much enjoying being with you virtually in some of the Sunday meetings. For those of you who have received our prayer letter, you'll know that we are in a great time of transition as a family, and praise the Lord, everything has gone to plan. Our things have arrived successfully in the UK and are now in storage. We successfully completed the sale of our flat last week, and at the moment we're staying in an Airbnb in the centre of Madrid. But tomorrow we get to go on holiday in Asturias, and praise the Lord. Things are good enough here in Madrid and in the rest of Spain for us to be able to move around Madrid and also to leave the area of Madrid and to go up to Asturias. And we were also in a position to be able to go to a wedding of one of the GBU students from here in Madrid. So we're just so thankful to the Lord. These past few weeks have been difficult and tiring, but we're just praising the Lord for his goodness to us. We've been able to meet with people, we've been able to have some goodbyes, and it's been really encouraging and also very sad.
Yeah, so that's true, really. We have lots to thank God for over the last few weeks. He's helped us and sustained us as he always has done. And as we come to the end of our 10 years of service with GBU, there's lots to think about, and I think it will take time to digest everything and to remember all that the Lord has brought us through and the way that the Lord has worked in us and through us over this last decade. But maybe just a little snapshot of encouragement, because it was encouraging for me and I hope it will be encouraging for you. Just a couple of weeks ago we had the evaluation and planning meeting with the student leaders from the region of Madrid. It was a virtual meeting at that point, and it was a great encouragement really to listen to them, to see what vision they have for the future. And also one of the great encouragements was were the Doulos volunteers. As some of you may remember, I've been quite involved in the Doulos program, trying to develop it, trying to do things better with the Doulos program, and to have four or five really committed graduates, young graduates who still want to be involved in the work. And they are actually going to take a lot on board, a good deal of the work that I've been doing, along with their jobs. But they're going to take on certain sections of the work, which means that Laura, who is the girl who's going to come to start as a staff worker, will be able to arrive, God willing, and just invest in relationships. And that is really key for the work here. Just be able to spend time having coffees, getting to know people, getting to know the different groups, and just making herself known in Madrid, really. So that was just a great encouragement for me. As we think about the next few weeks or months, we're going to be back in the UK, but we're not going to be able to come and see you. And so that's a little bit strange and a little bit disappointing, but we are grateful that the Lord has provided a place for us to be for the first couple of weeks when we get home. We don't have to have a strict quarantine anymore, so that's something that the Lord has helped with also. And if you could join us in praying for more practical things like where to live on a more permanent basis, and getting ready for September, that would be great. And thinking about the work here, do pray for Laura, Laura, who's starting in September. Pray that the Spanish Church would get behind her financially and support her. Pray for the students and the volunteers also in the transition process.
We'd also really appreciate prayer for the children. This has been a very difficult time with them, not only with coronavirus and the disruption to schooling, but also these weeks are difficult when there's no routine. We're really thankful that two out of the three of them have got school places, and we're hopeful that Lucia will be able to get a school place with Daniel as well. So we really value for a prayer for them, and that you particularly pray for wisdom in how to parent them in these difficult times. And we just remembered tonight in our devotional that the Lord doesn't change, and we pray that the children would be able to fix their eyes and to experience that they'll be able to be firmly rooted in the Lord. So we would really value your prayers for that too.
Well, thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for your prayers.
Thanks for praying. We very much hope to see you soon, perhaps virtually, and a little bit further in the future to see you physically. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Pray for the Short family. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for John and Lisa Short and their three children, Joseph, Lucia and Daniel. Father, we pray for safety for them all, as they return to England over the coming weeks. Father, thank you for their 10-year service working with GBU, bringing and sharing the gospel message with students in Spain. Father, thank you for the relationships they have built over that time, especially now to those in Madrid. And Father, help them as they have said some emotional goodbyes, which must have been happy and sad at the same time. Father, thank you for the Deluce volunteer graduates, 4 to 5, who are interested in being involved in the mission work in Madrid. Help them, sustain them, to share the gospel. Father, we pray for Laura, a staff worker in Madrid, as she builds up relationships with the students, and that the Spanish church will support her when she starts in September. Father, we pray for John and Lisa. Thank you that they have some temporary accommodation when they get back to Enfield. But Father, we pray for them for more permanent routes. Lord, we pray for their children and the upheaval of moving and new schooling. Father, please give them peace over this move. And thank you for sustaining them in their mission work in Spain. Amen.
Amen.
We're now going to pray for our government, for our service, and for the church family. So again, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word of truth, the Bible. Help each one of us to remember your words from Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Father, we are sorry for the sins we have committed this past week. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of life and for every day of life you give us. Father, we pray for our government for wisdom with the difficult decisions that lie ahead with the COVID-19 crisis that has and is affecting so many lives. Father, we pray you would put your loving arms around those families whose loved ones have died through COVID-19. Please give them your comfort and your strength. Father, we pray for those with COVID-19 who are unwell, for each one of them to make a full recovery. We pray, Lord, that our government would work with other governments around the world so the vaccine will be developed so that we can interact as before. Father, we thank you for technology, Zoom, YouTube, the phone, texting and so on. Father, it proves your word will find a way through. Father, please help each one of us to encourage one another by using this technology and sharing your life-saving message, especially to those who don't know you as their personal saviour. Father, we thank you for our online service today. We pray, Lord, that you would take any distractions away. Father, help us not just to listen, but to put your word of truth into action in our daily lives. Father, we especially pray for any non-Christians tuning in, that they would hear a clear gospel message. And Father, we pray the same for any non-Christians listening by phone. Lord, please soften their hearts, and for them to want that transformed life in you that leads to eternal life. Father, we thank you for our pastors who bring us your word of truth faithfully each week. Please strengthen them during this difficult time. And we pray for the other elders in their many responsibilities as they look at how we can meet up again at church in person when it is safe to do so. Pray especially for the elders meeting this Monday as they discuss how we can use the church building for small groups, as well as protecting those who are shielding or nervous or anxious about coming back at this time. Father, we thank you for our church family. We pray for continued unity. Father, you know there are many in your church who need your help, many struggling with isolation, depression, mental illness, frailty, and ill health. We pray, Lord, you will draw close to each one of them and give them peace. Father, we name some of them before you now. Father, we pray for Jill Sargent, who has a brain tumour. We pray for the doctors who seem optimistic it can be removed. Please, Lord, give Jill your comfort, your peace at this difficult time. Father, we thank you for Pam and Andy Huntingford. We pray especially for Andy's mum, Grace, who has recovered well after her operation. Please, Lord, help Pam and Andy as they support and care for her. Father, we continue to pray for Valerie Coles and Peter as he supports and cares for her. For Jenny White and Steve as he supports and cares for her. For Chris Martin and Steve as he supports and cares for her. And Malcolm and Claire as she supports and cares for him. Father, thank you for these four couples. And Lord, please strengthen them in your word of truth. Thank you, Lord. They are an encouragement to us all. And Father, we pray for the Letcher family. We pray they arrive safely in the US. We thank you for the whole family. Pray they will grow in their faith in you and keep them safe as they adjust to life there. There are many others who need your care and support, Lord, and you know them by name. Help each one of them to keep calling on you in truth. And finally, Lord, we pray for our key workers, the NHS staff, carers and teachers. Lord, thank you for them. Please give them your strength to cope. And we bring all these prayers to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Now, before we have our Bible reading this morning, we're going to sing one more song, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Good morning, my name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here at the church, and it's great to add my welcome this morning. We come back to our Bible teaching today. We're working our way through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and today we reach chapter 12. A quick filling in of where we've got to in the story so far. So the beginning of the book, we meet a character named Samuel, a leader raised up by the Lord. In about chapter 8, we discovered that the people wanted a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. And so God gives them a king. That king's name is Saul. And we saw in the last few chapters that God uses this king to deliver his people. And now we come to chapter 12. And we're going to pick up the story as Samuel steps back and Saul comes to the foreground as leader. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, and that's going to be read to us today by Sophie.
Today's reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel's farewell speech. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and grey, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right." "You have not cheated or oppressed us," they replied. "You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." Samuel said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." "He is witness," they said. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I am going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your ancestors out of Egypt, and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he sold them into the hands of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned, we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you.' Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, and Jereph, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around you, so that you lived in safety. But when you saw that Nahash, king of Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, 'No, we want a king to rule over us,' even though the Lord your God was your king. Now he is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your ancestors. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king." Then Samuel called to the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king." "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your kin will perish.
Well, thank you so much, Sophie, for reading that for us this morning. Keep it open in front of you at home on your device or in a paper Bible. And let's pray and seek God's help as we look at this portion of his word, his living, active word to us today. And let's pray, shall we, that the Spirit breathes life into us today through these words. But let's pray. Join me in a prayer. Gracious and loving Father in heaven, we read in the Psalms that the unfolding of your word gives light and it brings understanding to the simple. And Father, we would ask, please, that as I seek to unfold the word for us today as a church family, that you would through it bring us light, bring us life, bring us understanding in our simpleness. Bring us the light of Jesus today. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, on a Tuesday evening in January, sometime in 2017, Barack Obama, having served 8 years as the President of the United States, returned to his hometown to say goodbye. He gave a final address to the nation as he handed over leadership to Donald Trump. Now, many who heard this final address, this message, called it a message of hope as he urged the nation on to hold on to what he called American values. As Barack Obama took a step back, and Donald Trump stepped into the shoes of leadership, what is it that Barack Obama was urging the people to do as he left them? Well, as we said, he was urging them on a particular path. He was encouraging them to stick closely to a particular set of values, the American values. Now today, in a similar way, as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 12, we're seeing something similar. We are watching on, we are listening into another final address, another handing over of leadership, not between Barack Obama and Donald Trump, but between Samuel and Saul, the new king. Just look with me at chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Here's the setting. Samuel said to all Israel, maybe in the context of the end of chapter 12, where they were renewing the kingship. But in that setting, he says, Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and grey, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Samuel is handing over leadership to Saul, to this new king, this very first king of Israel. But as he takes a step back, and Saul from this point on in the book kind of takes the foreground for a while, what is it that Samuel urges the people to as he steps backwards, as he urges them on to the future? What does he say to them? Well, I want to suggest that we can capture this morning the essence of his message with three words. Here are the three words: forgetfulness, faithfulness, and forgiveness. Sorry, I said them in the wrong order, but here they are: forgetfulness, forgiveness, and faithfulness. I wonder if you could say those with me quickly to help us remember this morning. Forgetfulness, forgiveness, and faithfulness. Samuel's message, as he reminds them of these three things, is a timeless message for the people of God. And in fact, I want to show us today that it's a timeless message for our world.
Actually, it's a message for those of us who are starting on new chapters in our lives. Like the people in this chapter were about to embark on something new. They needed to hear this message. They were about to set out on a new chapter of life with a king. This is new. They'd never had an earthly king before, a human king who would lead them. What were they to do? How were they to live? What did they need reminding of as they entered this new chapter of their life? And as you start a new chapter, perhaps, of your life, how will you live? What do you need reminding of? What do you need to do? That new chapter might be the prospect of starting a new school in September, or simply going back to school in September. For some of us, it might be heading off to university in September, whatever that may look like. For some of us, the new chapter might be a very difficult chapter. Maybe we've lost our job and we're facing this new stage of life. What do I need reminding of? It might be the newness of heading back to work after lockdown, after furlough comes to an end. What do we need as we embark on a new chapter, as these people were? What do we need? Well, we need this message of Samuel. We need reminding about forgetfulness and forgiveness and faithfulness. Samuel's message is also for those of us who perhaps have found ourselves coming out of a bumpy season in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Coming out of a time where we feel rubbish because we've sinned again. Very much like the people, they've come through a bumpy three chapters. And here they stand with a king entering a new season, coming out of kind of rejection of God. What do they need to be reminded of? Well, it's Samuel's message. Forgetfulness, forgiveness, and faithfulness. And so, friends, what I want to do this morning is simply work my way through Samuel's speech using these three words. And I want us to hear this morning what God has to say to us, what message he has for us this morning. And the first word is forgetfulness. Samuel reminds them about their forgetfulness. Don't forget the Lord. Now, why does he start here? Why is this the first thing in his parting speech, his handing over speech that he wants them to know about? Well, simply because they have a long history. This nation that is standing in front of Samuel has a long history of forgetting the Lord. See, we're big fans at home, me and my children, of the Mr. Men stories. Maybe you've read them, seen them, heard of them. Fantastic characters, Mr. Happy, Mr. Bump, Mr. Bounce. But one of the characters is Mr. Forgetful. And as you'd imagine, his stories are full of forgetfulness. He goes to the shops and he forgets what he's gone for. He gets on a bus and he forgets where he's going. He goes to his home, but he forgets where it is. Some of us are thinking, well, hey, that's me right now. We might laugh, mightn't we, at a character like Mr. Forgetful. Makes for a funny read. But actually, in this handover speech, Samuel brings before them, he reminds them that they, as a nation, as a people, are Mr. Forgetful. As loved and chosen people by God, they have a history of forgetting the Lord who's loved them and forgetting all that God has done for them. Chapter 12, I don't know if you noticed it as we read, but it feels very much like a court. Samuel is almost gathering a court, bringing, as it were, this nation before him, before God, to give them evidence of their past, of their track record. So let's pick up the speech in verse 6. Up to this point, Samuel is identifying himself as an innocent leader, a leader to be listened to and trusted. And in verse 6, he says to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here because I'm going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors." After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your ancestors out of Egypt and settled them in this place. Here he is, he puts before them God, their God, the God who loved them, raised up Moses and Aaron for them. In their history, he had rescued this group of people out of slavery in Egypt. He'd loved them. But what did they do in return? Well, look at verse 9 with me. The very opening words, but they forgot the Lord their God. They forgot the Lord their God. And where does it lead when this people forget the Lord? Well, look at verse 9. So he sold them into the hands of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab who fought against them. God gives them over to their enemies. They forget him and he punishes them. And verse 10, what is God like? Well, verse 10, they cry out to him for help under their oppression. You see that? We've sinned. We've forsaken you. And they cry out for deliverance. And what does God do? Well, in repeated history for this nation, God, verse 11, raises up Jerubbaal and Barak and Jephthah. And now Samuel's standing in front of them and he delivered them from the hands of the enemies around them. That's their history. God is good to them. He's powerful to save them, but they forget him. They abandon him. They turn from him. And that's the first thing that he reminds them of. This is your track record. And they might be sitting there saying, well, Samuel, that was the past. We're not going to be like that. But he says, no. No, you are like that. Look at verse 12. He reminds this people of their situation too. Verse 12. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. For this people, not just historical, but the present day for Samuel, this people, when the pressure was on, when the heat was on, what did they do? They forgot the Lord. They ask for a king. They look everywhere else for help. This will be the answer. A king will be the solution to this problem we're facing, to this pressure we're under, not the Lord. And so they forgot the Lord. They forgot his power. They forgot his saving help. They forgot all that he had done for them in the past. And friends, as Samuel reminds this group of people of their forgetfulness, it is a bit like looking in a mirror, because we are prone to forgetfulness. Just like the people in this story, when the pressure is on, whatever that pressure may be in our lives, when the pressure is on, we can all too easily forget the Lord. Are you forgetful? I'm not talking about the Lord who. That's forgetfulness, isn't it? I'm not talking about that kind of forgetfulness. But here's a test to see whether we are forgetful people. And here it is. Here's the test. Where do you turn when you are under pressure? Who do you look to for help when we are under pressure? When you're afraid? I don't know what that may be at the moment, but for example, when the paycheck isn't matching the bills that are going out, when the pressure's on, who do you look to? When we wonder what's going to happen to us at the end of this furlough time, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to keep my job? Where do you look to when the pressure's on? When we get sick, where do we look to when the pressure's on? When we feel overwhelmed by another week of homeschooling or another day of working at home, or perhaps just the ongoing mental pressures and anxieties that are upon us. Where do we look when the pressure's on? Friends, these places, when we are squeezed in these ways, when our Nahash king comes against us, these are the places that we start to see our forgetfulness. And forgetfulness leads to idolatry. So look at verse 21. Let's leap down a little bit later because he spells it out for the people here. He says, do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. Under pressure, when we forget the Lord, we turn to things, to other things for the help we need. But they're things that he calls useless things, things that can't really help us, can't really do us good, can't really save us. But isn't that us? See, idols aren't just little wooden statues. Idols are the things that we turn to, we look to, we trust in for some help or some rescue or to feel better. Anything that's not God is an idol. Now, that could be all sorts of things for us, mightn't that? It might be that we look to the security of money in the bank account. As long as I've got enough savings, I feel secure. I feel at peace. I don't have to worry too much about not having my job. Perhaps it might be the happiness that comes from a bit of exercise. As long as I can get out for a run at the end of a busy day. As long as I can do a bit of exercise, go for a walk, that'll be good. I'll turn there when the pressure's on. It might be the comfort of thinking, I've had a hard day, I just want a bit of Netflix and a glass of wine and I want to sit down on the sofa. When we run to those things, when we think those are the things that are going to help us, then we're forgetting the Lord. Forgetfulness is seen in who we turn to when the pressure's on. By forgetfulness, I'm not meaning that any of us kind of suddenly drop into this Jesus who? I don't know who you're talking about. No, forgetting the Lord, forgetting Jesus, as it were, is to forget all that he's done for us. To forget his power, his saving help. To forget that if God is for us, who can be against us? To forget that if God did not spare his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously, along with him, give us all things? When we forget what God has done, when we forget who God is, then we're prone to wander to other things, to fill the very gap that God should fill. And forgetfulness of the Lord, friends, is an evil thing. It's an evil thing in the Lord's sight. Samuel doesn't beat around the bush about it. And in fact, that's what's going on in verse 16 to 18. Look at verse 16. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? It's basically saying it's not the time for a thunderstorm. This is when you'd expect a thunderstorm. But then look what he says. I will call on the Lord to send the thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called on the Lord, and the same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. What's going on here? Well, through an act of thunder, through an act of judgment and rain coming down at a time when they did not expect it, and at a moment when Samuel had called for it, they are confronted with the judgment of God, with the wrath of God at the wickedness of turning from God. And they are filled with awe. Filled with fear. That fear comes out in verse 19, doesn't it? Because they recognize that they're in deep trouble. Pray. They say, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. We've added this other thing to our sins. We've got a great big pile of sins and boy, we're in trouble. Samuel warns them not to be forgetful of the Lord. Runs in the family. How many of us, if we're honest, as we listen into Samuel, have a track record of forgetfulness? Some of us watching this today have lived our whole lives that way. We've lived our whole lives forgetful of God, turned away from God, seeking help and worth and value and salvation in all sorts of things other than God. We've had a permanent God amnesia. Many of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, they will still identify with forgetfulness. It's a cycle of the Christian life. We love Jesus. We see the good things he's done for us. We experience his salvation. But then when the pressure's on, we are prone to forget Jesus and look elsewhere for the help that we need. And then we return and we say sorry, and then we repeat the process. Samuel, first of all, warns the people as he steps back in this timeless speech. He says, don't be forgetful of the Lord. First word, forgetfulness. But second word, though, is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgetfulness in this story is wonderfully met with God's forgiveness. See, that's the good news of Samuel's speech, as he warns them, as he steps back and says, you've got to be careful about forgetting the Lord. He actually then brings them face to face with the forgiveness of God. Look at verse 20. This is something that Mr. Forgetfuls and Mrs. Forgetfuls need to hear. Look at verse 20. What does he say to the people? Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. Having confronted them with their track record, a family track record, but their own behaviour, their own forgetfulness of God, having reminded them that they are to fear God, the God who thunders from heaven, he now comforts them with the forgiveness of God, with God's commitment to them. Forgetfulness is met with forgiveness. If I could put it like this, our unfaithfulness to God is frequently met with God's faithfulness to us, to his people, to those of us that he has saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're such wonderful words, verse 20, just let them sink in. They come in so many times in the Bible, but don't let them lose their weight this morning. Hear the voice of God. Do not be afraid. We have every reason, don't we, to fear the Lord because of our forgetfulness of him, because of our proneness to drift to other things for the help that we need. But look at verse 22. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. For those of us trusting the Lord Jesus this morning, we've got to hear that God is committed to his people. Even in our forgetfulness and our turning away, for those of us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to hear this morning that he is committed to us. He has taken us to be his own. Through the shed blood of his son, he purchased us at a great cost. And even when we forget the Lord, and even when we drift away, when we turn back to him, we are met not with his wrath, but with his forgiveness. We are met with his faithfulness. And I want to say to you this morning that if you're not yet trusting Jesus, and if you've spent your life with permanent God amnesia, turning from him, turned away, looking to all sorts of things, useless things to do you good and to save you, then today, through faith in Jesus Christ, God will run to meet you with his forgiveness, and he will make you his own, and he will be committed to you. Will you do that today? What does Samuel want the people to know as he steps back? First word, say it with me, forgetfulness. Second word, forgiveness. Forgetfulness, don't forget the Lord. When you forget the Lord, remember that there is forgiveness from the Lord. But the third word, can you remember it with me? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Samuel stands in front of this people and he says, be faithful to the Lord. Don't be a Mr. Forgetful. Instead, be a Mr. Faithful, or a Mr. Loyal. Now that comes out in a number of places in his speech, his closing speech to them. But one of those places is verse 24. Look at verse 24. He says here, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. consider what great things he has done for you. Now here is a call from Samuel to this people in this timeless message to remain loyal to the Lord our God. The God we know today as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Remain loyal, faithful to him. Many of us probably have a loyalty card. The likelihood is you'll probably have a bundle of loyalty cards. My wife's purse is filled with them. She can barely close it. She's got so many. We have one for Tesco's and one for Sainsbury's and one for Waitrose. We have one for Costa and we have one for Starbucks. Now, if I'm being picky this morning, that technically means they're not loyalty cards. Because loyalty, it means that you are going to stick with that company. I'm going to shop in Tesco's and Tesco's alone, and they're going to reward me for being loyal. That's not a loyalty card, is it? But actually, that kind of loyalty, sticking with, shopping nowhere else, is the loyalty that God calls us to. That Samuel here wants the people to have, that faithfulness, that loyalty to the Lord. If you've been to a wedding ceremony, you'll remember that often the bride and the groom promise each other that they will forsake all others so long as they both shall live. It is a loyalty and a promise of faithfulness. No one else involved. Now that is loyalty. And that is what the Lord wants from us. The Lord wants faithfulness from his people. He doesn't want us shopping around elsewhere for the help that we need, the salvation we need, the good that we need. Now, what does that look like in practice then to be faithful to the Lord? Now, what does it look like to look to God alone? Does that mean we shouldn't get help anywhere else? Well, no, but it means to start with the Lord. And actually, verse 24 spells it out for us. It breaks faithfulness down into a number of components. Look at verse 24. First of all, be sure to fear the Lord. Faithfulness means fearing God. Now, what do we mean by fear? Some people are probably thinking, well, maybe it means to be terrified of God. Some people think maybe it's to respect God. I want to say to you, it's the whole lot in the Bible. To fear the Lord is to fear him. Like I would fear standing face to face with a lion. Like the fear that comes over Isaiah the prophet when he encounters says God. Like the fear that people have in the book of Revelation when they see the Lamb on the throne and God. That kind of fear. We're to have that fear. That's to be faithful to God. But it also means to fear him in the sense of giving him respect, to treat him as God. That's what to be faithful. What else is faithfulness? Well, look at verse 24 again. It goes on to say, and serve him. To submit yourself to him. To obey him. That's faithfulness. And to do it with all your heart, not half-heartedly. Well, I'll give God a bit of time here and I'll do a few things for him there. No, it's whole-hearted serving of God. That's faithfulness. And then there's a third component, and this one may surprise us a little bit. But at the very end of verse 24, it says, consider. Consider what great things God has done for you. What is the antidote to forgetfulness? Well, we're told here it is to consider. It is to remember all the great things that God has done. Being faithful to God means regularly bringing to mind the good things, the great things that God has done for us. And as we listen into this timeless message of Samuel, what is the great things that the Lord has done for us? Well, at the very epicenter of God's great things he's done for us is Jesus. And at the very center of that, it's the cross of our Lord Jesus. If we're going to consider the great things he's done for us, we should start there. That's the considering that he wants us to do. At the cross, And the resurrection, we see the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness to his promises, faithfulness to his character, faithfulness to justice. We see his love, a love and commitment to people that are wayward and wandering and forgetful. We see his power to crush an enemy, his power to forgive sins. We see the saving help of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we stop considering the cross, the great things that the Lord has done, then we are likely to forget the Lord and run to other places for help. But our considering shouldn't just stop there as the people of God. Otherwise, God would have just given us a gospel. Instead, he's given us a whole Bible. A Bible full of story, story after story of God's good things that he has done for his people, of his commitments to them. That's why if you hang around our church long enough, we go on so much about reading the Bible for yourself. We do it because we genuinely want you to consider. Consider what God has done. Let me put it like this morning, and this will give you something hopefully to chew on. But we're learning here that it is faithfulness to consider. I am being faithful to my God when I consider all the stories that he has given us of his great works for us. But here's the thing, considering also helps me to be faithful. It's a circle, you see. It's faithfulness to consider, and considering helps me to be faithful. And so when I'm faithful, I want to consider, and when I consider, it will help me to be faithful. Faithfulness is the life that Samuel, in this closing speech, this handing over speech, is calling this people and their king to live out. Faithfulness to the Lord. Look at verse 14 and 15. Now this is significant for where the story moves from here. In verse 14, he says, "If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against his command, his hand will be against you as it was against your ancestors." As this nation gets their very first king, as Saul steps up as king and Samuel steps back, what is it he wants them to know? Well, it becomes clear the sort of king that this people are going to need if they're going to remain faithful to him. They need a king who will lead them in faithfulness, who will lead them in following the Lord and not turning away from him. Now, without such a king, it's going to be a disaster. Verse 15, you saw it there. What's going to happen? Well, you'll end up like your ancestors, handed over to your enemies. And again, verse 25, cast an eye there. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. Next week, and I'm sorry for a spoiler alert here, but next week we're going to start to get a glimpse that Saul is not the king. He is not the king who will lead them in faithfulness, because he's forgetful. He's proud. He forgets the Lord and he's unfaithful to him. And so as we press on into this book, it's going to leave us longing for a better king. And then David comes up and yes, he's better, but even he leaves us longing. And so this book leads us to Jesus, the king who is faithful. A king that is so faithful to his father that he was willing to walk the path to a cross and give his life for those of us who would trust in him. A king that is so faithful that when the pressure comes on, when he's facing the prospect of the cross, what does he do? Does he seek help here or there? No, he gets on his knees in a garden the day before he dies and he prays. He's faithful. And I don't know about you, some of us listen to a lot of Bible talks, but sometimes when I hear a talk that's calling me to be faithful and I hear the speeches of Samuel, be faithful, I feel a bit deflated and a bit defeated because I know, how can I do that? I get the forgetfulness thing, that's me, But how can I be faithful? Well, friends, I want to encourage you this morning that we can do it. We can be faithful, not by looking in, but because we have a king, a faithful king who leads us in faithfulness. We have Jesus. And we have his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us to lead us in faithfulness. Don't despair. When you hear a call of Samuel, be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to our King. We have a faithful King who can lead us in faithfulness. Will you seek his help today? Maybe even this morning, could you say, Jesus, lead me in faithfulness. Lead me away from forgetfulness and lead me to be faithful. So friends, here it is, 1 Samuel 12. It is the handover speech of Samuel to Saul. And in this handover speech, as he urges the people, we have a timeless message which are captured in three words. See if you can remember them with me this morning. Have a go. Forgetfulness, forgiveness, faithfulness. Don't forget the Lord. How prone we are to forgetfulness as we press on in, perhaps into a new chapter or out of a season of sin or whatever this week holds. Don't forget the Lord. Don't turn away from him. Don't run after other things for the help and the good that only God can give. Forgiveness. Friends, when we forget the Lord, remember that in Jesus, he is willing to forgive. He is committed to us. We are his. He's brought us to himself. There is forgiveness for our forgetfulness. And there is a call to be faithful. With forgiveness upon us, let's be faithful to the Lord this week with the help of our faithful King. Let's pray together as we head out into another week together. Let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're sorry for our forgetfulness. We're sorry that we have so often turned away from you, sought our help and good from other things, from created things, from other humans. Father, we're sorry that we have given our obedience and our loyalty and our service to other things. Father, we thank you for our forgiveness this morning. Thank you for your commitment to those of us that are trusting in the Lord Jesus. But Father, I want to pray, please, that even this morning you would be drawing to yourself people that you're taking as your very own as they put their faith in Jesus. Thank you that in him there is forgiveness. And Lord, please forgive us this morning for our forgetfulness. And Lord Jesus, faithful King, lead us this week in faithfulness, we ask. And we pray it in the name of our Saviour Jesus. Amen. Well, as we finish up this morning, we're going to sing a song that captures something of that great mercy. We sing often this idea that his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. Our forgetfulness is much. But boy, the commitment of God is good news. Commitment to us, even in our forgetfulness. So let's sing together, his mercy is more. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Please do stick around afterwards if you've got a bit of time and join us on our Zoom Cafe. Again, if you want to connect to the Zoom Cafe and you need login details, then email office@enfieldtown.church. There'll be somebody there who can fire you an email. Like Dougal said earlier, if you've been watching and you feel ready to connect with us, we'd love to get to know you. Please just drop into the cafe or send us an email and we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. As we finish, let me read a final prayer from the book of Hebrews. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.